Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
I'm opening.
We have
an eye, sort of a nostril, two teeth. One of the teeth has a small cavity. Close call, folks, but I think we got here just in time.
Presented by Maria Menounos and Kevin Undergaro. This is Anatomy of a Movie. In-depth discussions and breakdowns of various movie titles. And now that you've seen the movie, let the dissection begin.
Yes. Oh my gosh! This song
is so good.
It's so good. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Anatomy of a Movie here on the Popcorn Talk. The usual Anatomy of a Movie crew were nice enough to let us take over today.
Yeah.
So that we could discuss Dragon Ball Z Resurrection F. I am Emma Fife, your host for today. You can follow me on Twitter at Emma Fife, and I am joined by a fabulous panel of like-minded nerdy ladies.
I mean, just by the way we're dressed.
I know. First of all, okay, I would like to point out that we are all wearing the exact same shirt.
What? And glasses.
And we're all wearing glasses.
Yes, we are.
And this was not on purpose.
No, we didn't call each other.
No, we showed up. We just decided to do this.
It was just like an amazing nerdception that happened.
Magic moments.
Yeah, we're just totally like on that Super Saiyan, like, wavelength together.
And now it's captured on video.
And here we are.
It is. It's on the internet forever, guys.
So, basically, Anatomy of a Movie brought to you today by Hot Topic.
Hey! Hot Topic.
Which is where this shirt is from. But yes, I am joined by the fabulous Kaori Takei.
Hey, everybody. I'm here, ready to talk Dragon Ball Z. You know, growing up, obviously, Dragon Ball was the shizzle.
Yes. And Alexis Torres.
Hey, everybody. And yeah, that literally was just my life for a really long time. Mm-hmm. Sailor Moon and DBZ. That was it.
And here we are.
And I'm excited because actually this is my first time being on a panel with you.
I know!
Yay!
I'm on panels with Alexis all the time.
You guys get to share
But I'm no less excited about it because I'm so excited about this movie.
I could talk about Dragon Ball.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So before we get into that, I just wanted to mention one thing because I'm just having like total like nerd middle school flashbacks right now.
Okay.
So Final Fantasy VII was released on iOS today.
I know.
So you can play it on your phone or your iPad. Like, I want to go home and play Final Fantasy VII. I'm talking about Dragon Ball Z. Like, I'm totally back in my middle school years
now. That's what I wanted to bring up a little bit. Not maybe not today, but just in talk.
Yeah.
About the fact that I'm noticing this year for just video game stuff, movies, TV, and stuff like that, it's all coming back.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
And it's just like my, like, literally anywhere between like 10 to 15 age self is just like, oh my God, my TV's back.
Yes.
I'm so excited.
So let's talk a little more specifically about this movie. Of course, Dragon Ball Z Resurrection F is the 19th Dragon Ball movie overall, the 15th specifically that is Dragon Ball Z. And it was released in theaters initially on April 18th, 2015. And it's the first Japanese film ever to be screened in IMAX 3D.
I did not know that.
Yeah, now the predecessor to this, Battle of the Gods, or Battle of Gods. I always want to call it Battle of the Gods, but it's just Battle of Gods.
Which this
movie is a direct sequel to. Mm-hmm. I think if you haven't seen Battle of Gods, you'd be a little confused by this movie, but I think you could still enjoy it. But Battle of Gods was actually screened in IMAX, but it just wasn't screened in IMAX 3D. So this is the first film in Japan, produced in Japan, to ever be screened in IMAX 3D.
That's awesome.
That's great.
It's pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
So it is, of course, based on the wildly popular series Dragon Ball / Dragon Ball Z, created by Akira Toriyama, who, interestingly enough, this is only the second film that he's really had a hand in producing. Because he did actually write the script for this, the creator of the series itself.
Which I was, that again with the nostalgia factor definitely played into that. Because I was trying to figure out, I'm like, is he actually going to be doing anything in this one? Because I know that there was rumors about it.
Yeah.
I just didn't know if that was actually going to be a thing.
Well, it actually was a thing.
I know.
Now, something that's interesting to note about this movie is the guy who directed it. I'm gonna butcher his name. Hold on.
I can help you.
It's Tadayoshi Yamamuro.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Hey!
Pretty okay, right?
Approval.
So he actually has a lot of credits working in the animation department on films. You know, he worked on the series Dragon Ball Super, which Toei is airing right now. He also worked on Battle of Gods, and he worked on lots of other non-Dragon Ball related things like Digimon. Mm. Hello. Exactly. That takes you back to the 90s also. Also things like Laputa Castle in the Sky, and he's just got a huge, huge list of animation mm-hmm. credits. This is actually his first directing credit.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, good job.
Yeah.
Yeah, fun job.
No, I completely agree.
Yeah, I feel like it's sort of a natural transition in some ways from, you know, animation department into mm-hmm. animation director.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I just thought that was an interesting thing to know.
No, those are good things to know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, very nice.
But the thing that I thought really worked about this movie, as opposed to, Battle of Gods, which I also liked, mm-hmm. But this movie I felt was a little more cohesive across the board.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just to touch on Battle of Gods for a second, a lot of that focused around Bulma's birthday party, and there was a lot of just, like, shenanigans going mm-hmm. on in that. And once they switched over into doing just the, like, hardcore fighting, I felt like it had this huge tonal shift, and it really kind of slowed down for me. And I didn't feel that way about this movie. I felt that he did a really good job of keeping that balance mm-hmm. going back and forth between having the, you know, the more comedic kind of stuff as well as the serious battles. And that was actually something. So I had the opportunity to cover the English language dub premiere of this back during Anime Expo that premiered on July 2nd, which was a Thursday night at the Regal downtown LA Live. It was super fun. And afterwards, it was really cool. So they actually put us right next to Funimation because they were getting some sound bites and things for the special release Blu-rays.
Right.
That'll be coming out here shortly. And so I actually got interviewed for the Blu-ray.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, nice. After
I'm looking for you now.
Yeah, after I had seen the movie. And one of the things I said was that I felt like this movie was really smart for a Dragon Ball Z film.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean?
No, we talked about that, the group that I went with, because I went with different friends who some of them watch it religiously, some people have, you know, haven't seen it since they were a kid, you know, so I got different opinions from all these different groups, but the one thing that we did notice is that it was very smart. And also, Goku was very smart.
Shocking for Goku. Yes. He actually made some intelligent decisions.
Yes. So that was the one thing. Yeah, exactly. So I was really astonished at the fact that I was just like, oh my God, I'm actually learning something right now.
For me, watching this, I'm one of the ones that watched this as a kid and played the game.
Yeah.
And then it kind of just fell off. And now that it's reviving and resurrecting itself.
Hey!
Real good. I like that.
Watch this movie. And I thought, oh my gosh, not only are all these things coming back to me, but all these characters, seeing Gohan in this tracksuit, I'm like,
what is he wearing?
What is he wearing? He's hipster Gohan now.
He's totally hipster Gohan. He's even got the hipster glasses.
He does.
Oh man. It's he's a dad now, I guess.
I know.
I don't know what else to say. Yeah. He has a dad tracksuit on.
The height of dad fashion in the Dragon Ball Z universe. The tracksuit.
Who would have thought he'd grow up to be that?
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that. So when I saw him, I was like, who's that?
Yeah. You know? So let's talk a little bit more about the actual story of this movie. So basically, as the title would imply, it does center around the resurrection of F, of course, standing for Frieza, one of the most
so crazy
beloved, I would actually venture to say, Dragon Ball Z villains of all time.
Badass.
I was so scared of him when I was a kid. I was like, you were the creepiest, weird, white, purple popsicle I've ever seen in my life.
Well,
like,
certainly super memorable from my childhood, because Frieza was the second main story arc in the Dragon Ball Z sort of continuity.
Yeah.
And you came out of having a battle with Nappa and Vegeta, whereas the end of that, you know, Nappa.
That's all I'm going to say.
But ultimately, you had a lot of villains to that point that had sort of redeeming qualities to them. You know, ultimately, Piccolo, who was kind of a villain, becomes kind of a good guy. Vegeta kind of a villain, becomes kind of a good
but
guy.
But you end up loving like Piccolo and Vegeta.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, of course. Like,
you know, but Frieza, you love to hate him.
Oh my gosh,
so
yeah.
So much.
Yeah, I feel like Frieza was the first villain in the Dragon Ball Z universe who, as you say, Kari, you loved to hate.
Yeah.
Because he is just evil.
No, every time that he speaks, I'm just like, oh, you think that you're just the big guy, like you're the big kahuna, and I'm like, no, you're not.
Yeah.
I mean, to a point he is, but like, as a child, I was like, I hate you.
Yeah, oh, so much.
Yeah.
So, okay, I actually want to talk about the very opening scene of this movie, because when it started, I was actually confused. Weird.
No, it was really funny, because I was watching it, and I was just like, okay, wait, this must be a preview. Am I doing like a Pixar thing where there's a short first?
That's what I thought.
So then when I saw it again and again, I was watching my friends first to see, like, oh, I wonder what they're gonna think, and they're just like, why are there fuzzy creatures?
I'm gonna be honest with you, I thought we were seeing a like animated Pokemon short.
I would have been totally fine with that.
That's like a predecessor, you know, like before the Pokemon films, how they had like Pikachu's Big Adventure.
Yeah. That would have been so funny.
I don't think that was the actual title of it, but you know what I mean. It was like Pikachu on the island with all the other Pikachus. And that was kind of what I thought was happening here, but that's not what it was. This was Frieza's personal hell.
That was so crazy.
It was ridiculous.
It does look like hell, I'm not gonna lie.
Well, I mean, it starts with like, okay, so to be fair, the reason I thought it was Pokemon was because the first thing you saw was that thing that looked sort of like Magikarp to me.
Yeah,
so immediately was in that mindset, and then it's just like happy teddy bears and they're singing and,
like,
and dancing.
And stuff. It was so weird.
Yeah, so we see where Frieza is right now in his afterlife, in his other dimension, if you watched the old dub of this as a kid growing up.
Oh Lord.
For anybody who's confused, in early anime airing on television in the 90s and in the early 2000s in North America, nobody ever died? Didn't die.
Nope.
They just went to another dimension. I believe Dragon Ball Z was a big fan of the Halo dimension.
Mm. Yes, I remember that.
AKA, they have halos because they're dead. But anyway, so we see Emperor Pilaf's gang, him and Shu and Mai, and they have gathered all the Dragon Balls, and they are going to make their wish. I was trying to remember. I know that they get duped into basically wishing Frieza to come back to life by Sorbet and Tagoma. That was the other henchman.
Yeah,
Sorbet and Tagoma. But didn't they also wish for some ridiculously low amount of money?
I mean, it was high for them, but yes. I can't remember the amount.
It was like a million zenny. No, I don't even think it was a million zenny. They're like, we want 100,000 zenny. Like, you could wish for anything, guys.
I can't remember. I know, that's why she got mad. And she was like, you could have, I think it was like 100 million.
Yeah.
I was just like, yeah.
Or, you know, unlimited funds.
Yeah, but then remember, if you do that, then your kids will be rowdy and own nightclubs. So
there you go.
Yeah.
It was just to point out that they don't think before they act.
Yes.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Yes. So Shenron grants their wish, however, to have Frieza revived.
I have a question, though.
Yes.
Has Shenron given two wishes? Is this the first time he's done that? Or am I just not remembering
correctly? I feel like
I don't remember there being two wishes, just straight up. I don't know if everyone's going to kill
me. I don't remember that. Well,
I know,
it was just one.
But they wished Frieza back to life first, and then it was kind of in another breath. They're like, we wish Frieza back to life, and also for 100 million zenny.
Yeah, so I was like, what?
But as far as I can tell, he only grants the wish to have Frieza come back. Or did he give them...
No, he gave them money.
Yeah, he did give them money.
That's what I was saying. He said, okay, what do you want for your second wish? And he was like, second wish. And then he was going to bring back Frieza's father. Why am I forgetting his name right now?
Oh,
King.
Oh, yes.
I'll look it up.
Yep.
King Cole?
You're on it. Oh.
Nope, I'm not going to do that.
Okay, we're going to let Kari confirm exactly what that was. But yeah, so he does. He brings Frieza back to life. However, he warns them it's not going to be exactly...
That was... So the sound effects coming out from when they bring Frieza's body back, I was
King
like...
King Cold.
Yeah, King Cold.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly.
That was close.
Because Frieza.
Yeah, I should have thought about that. But yeah, and I remember they said that, and they were thinking, or Sorbet was thinking of bringing back King Cole, and before he could, he was in the middle of thinking, he's like, I wish for, according to everybody, it was like a million zenny.
A million zenny, yeah. Because yeah. that was what they were after in Battle of Gods also.
Yes. Yeah, they wanted money. So yeah. I was like, okay, thanks. Yeah. Thanks, guys, in the chat.
Yes,
really appreciate
thank you.
It.
Thank you. Yeah, so Frieza comes back, but he's not really alive. He's just kind of like pieces of his body.
Oh, so gross.
Come
and,
back.
Like, his eye opened and everything. I was like, ugh. Gross.
Yeah.
Again?
I know, right?
Yeah. And so then they're like, it's fine. We, Sorbet and Tagoma, mm-hmm. this is, they're like, oh, this, it's fine because we have this plan. We've been working on developing this technology mm-hmm. to rebuild him.
Yeah. It felt like a RoboCop for
it
a did,
No,
bit.
It totally was. Like, it was very RoboCop.
But yeah, I believe that they had, was it a regeneration pods or something
that? Yeah.
And yeah, they brought him back. And that whole, what was it? It was like death metal scene.
Oh yeah, it was very death metal.
I was like, oh yeah, this is definitely in the 90s. It's coming back.
I know. Yeah, that was the thing was that like, okay, so the animation in this movie is fantastic.
Yes, uh-huh. I completely agree.
And it, which just goes to show you Toei actually can animate still, which you wouldn't be able to tell from many of their series that are on the air or were recently on the air.
We don't have to talk about that.
but other than the animation looking crisper and more fluid, it still looks like super 90s.
Which I love.
I do too.
I realized that right away and I thought, this is just a breath of fresh air to have it look like it's been hand-drawn a lot more.
It did look a lot more hand-drawn. Yeah.
Which I loved too because there was a part, I mean, not to get too far ahead into the movie, that when Goku was fighting Frieza, there was points where they were using 3D a little bit, and I was kind of like, whoa, this is weird. Oh, this is really weird. And then they went back to hand-drawn. I was like, okay, I'm back on board.
Yeah, you know, Toei has been doing that a lot lately, where they're trying to incorporate 3D into the more traditional hand-drawn looking kind of animation, and it's a little jarring.
It just threw me off for a little bit.
You know, I found it to be a lot better in this film than it was in Battle of Gods. Like, in Battle of Gods, there was one scene where they were, like, sweeping into the Capsule Corporation, everything kind of looked like a PS2 game for a second, and then it went back to kind of flat. And I was like, can we just stay with that? But in this one, I didn't find it quite as jarring. Though there definitely were moments where you're like, oh!
But it wasn't, it didn't last very long. But it was weird to me because I was kind of like, oh, okay, and we're back. That was weird.
Yeah. It's the same kind of thing that Toei was doing with, like the transformation sequences in Sailor Moon where they're like, sort of.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, I know you guys are on the Sailor Moon panel. Yeah. But that was like the one qualm I had. I was kind of like, what's up with this 3D transformation all of a sudden? I liked my 2D sparkles, okay? Yeah. Bring them back.
I mean, the 3D sparkles look nice, but this one looked just as nice in all 2D.
That's all I'm saying. Just bring it back.
So they successfully, moving on with the actual writing of the and storytelling, if you will, of this adventure that we all got to go on in American theaters. they bring Frieza back.
Yeah.
And when Frieza comes back, he basically destroys some of his henchmen.
It's like, immediately, I was just like, no, don't start killing people off on your team already. But it also shows, like, hey, Frieza's not playing around.
No, he's not.
He never does, but at just the same time, it's just like,
he's
really?
Like, who needs anyone? I just need to get resurrected. All I care about.
Need to do a little bit of training. Yeah. And then I'm good to go.
I don't even need to train. You know, I'll just pretend I train and talk to him when I see
him. Yeah, why not? I thought actually that was an interesting plot point in this movie, was that Frieza brought up that as powerful and terrifying as he was during the story arc that we saw him in Dragon Ball Z, he was just naturally that way.
Yeah.
He was just born that way.
He was.
And apparently in that little beehive nest thing, he's been training to get really strong.
Yeah,
and
the little beehive nest thing that he floats around in. Actually, I have, when this movie aired during Anime Expo, for anybody who had tickets to the movie, or I just went up to Funimation's booth and was like, hey, I'm covering the premiere tonight. Can I have one of those sweet cell phone charms? So I actually have a little Frieza here.
Adorable.
He's on my microphone hanging out with me. He's real cute.
Oh my god.
That's a cute
That's
Frieza.
Adorable.
It's pretty great. And he floats around. And he floats around in this pot a lot during the movie. So,
That's like...
That's
just
the
his
movie.
Pot. Yeah, like pretty much the whole movie.
Classic
until he transforms to his final form.
Yes. Because he decides he's going to train and, like, get more forms and get stronger.
Yeah.
Because he basically, what makes him so angry and makes him end up throwing one of his henchmen through a window into space to his death.
Henchmen.
Sucks. He was just trying to help.
They should know better at this point. Do not resurrect this guy.
Yeah. Well, because someone has to break it to him that since he's been dead, Goku has defeated a lot more enemies.
Yeah. I don't know.
And Frieza's not too happy about that. So he's like, whatever, it's fine. I'm just going to train, and I'm going to get stronger, and I'm going to defeat Goku. It's not going to be a problem. meanwhile, a new character is introduced to Comstarth, who's not actually a new character to the Akira Toriyama universe of things, but the character of Jocko, the Galactic Patrolman.
Yeah.
Who actually has, it's a manga series written by Akira Toriyama in 2013, I believe, that follows his adventures in space, incidentally with Tights, who turns out, of course, is Bulma's sister, her name also being an allusion to undergarments, as everybody in the Briefs family is.
I love that. So clever.
So having knowledge of the Capsule Corporation, knowing Tights, he goes to tell Bulma, listen, Frieza's coming back.
But I love how he took his time, though, because he's like, I'm playing with the goldfish first.
Not taking it seriously. He's like, it's all good. We know Goku's going to end up kicking his ass anyway.
Yeah, right.
I don't have time for this.
So Jocko basically goes seeking Bulma at the Capsule Corporation, which I love that she just runs Capsule Corp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You know what I mean? Because this is interesting, because I remember even as a kid watching Dragon Ball Z growing up and you know, subsequently, at the same time I was watching Sailor Moon, and Sailor Moon is so much about, like, the girls taking the lead and they kick all the buttons. Yeah. So Dragon Ball was always sort of disappointing to me in that regard, that, like, the women didn't get to be as involved in the action. But Bulma was always such a visible character, and she was really smart. In her own way. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Like she was supposed to be, you know, scientifically intelligent. She had created the Dragon Radar in order to go find the Dragon Balls. So, you know, I like that she knew what she wanted and she went after it, and, you know, she was in danger a lot, but she was rarely really a damsel in distress, you know?
No.
It was usually more she was hanging out, hiding behind a rock on the side of the
action.
Like
she did today.
Like she does in this movie.
Yeah. No, I feel like she's mostly just bad-mouthing people,
and then
she regrets it halfway through.
Yeah.
I actually missed Chi-Chi, and I wish she...
I know!
Yeah. I was really sad that she wasn't in this one.
Because she was badass, and they fell in love.
Yeah, she was, and Videl, Gohan's wife, she's kind of a tough chick, too.
Yeah,
that was the thing, was that even though the girl characters weren't quite given as much to do, they were rarely pushed into that damsel in distress archetype.
Which I love.
Yeah, I love that too. And it was really fun in this movie to see Bulma returning to her being the usual, like, sideline sass mouth that she is.
As she's holding a sundae.
Yes!
So that was epic.
Well, okay, so basically... That was so, like, good.
That's a smart move, a way to a guy's thought process.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She knows what's what.
She knows.
She made me hungry looking at that sundae. I was just like,
I know, it looks so good.
I'm never going to find a sundae that looks like that.
No, right?
Whatever. Yeah, because basically, Jocko shows up and he tells her, oh, Frieza's coming. Like, in, I don't know.
An hour?
Couple hours.
Yeah. He's like, I don't want to help. But,
yeah, but I just thought you should know. And she's like, this is a problem because my husband and Goku, the most powerful people on this planet, are not even on this planet. They are away. But the montage of her rounding up the rest of the Z Fighters, like, you know, rallying them to the battle was amazing.
I loved every minute of that.
I loved that Piccolo was babysitting.
He was rocking the chair with his foot. I was like, oh, Piccolo's now a babysitter.
Yeah,
that's adorable.
He's been relegated to the role of babysitter for Gohan and Videl.
And it's still the same way, too, just all the way leaned back.
Yeah.
And just like,
like, I'm not really involved in this.
But I'm going to do it anyway.
But my absolute favorite, though, was when Krillin decided he was going to join the fight. And he was telling his wife, Android 18, he's like, all right, I'm going to go join the battle. And she's like, I'm actually a little stronger than you are.
But this is where the smart thing comes into play of, like, Krillin knows she is definitely powerful than
she is. Way more powerful than
him. So she should stay home and protect their little one.
Exactly.
I was like, ooh.
And I just, okay. And he, like, flies off and she goes,
He's so cool.
Right. That was really cute.
That was adorable.
It was so funny. I don't know how you guys felt about this, but I brought a friend of mine who hasn't seen Dragon Ball Z since she was like 12. Mm-hmm. And she was like, wait, Krillin can grow hair? And I was
he can grow his hair.
But you know, we've never really like seen Krillin with hair. So she was like, what?
Yeah. He had hair periodically.
Yeah, that's
the,
what I was saying.
Series.
And I was like, I remember that.
Yeah. I like the hairstyle though.
I actually I like the hair. Mm-hmm. I would rather have him kept it.
You guys are pro Krillin hair.
Yes. Totally. Hashtag pro Krillin hair.
Hair
I mean, it was nice to see him shave it though. Yeah. They're bringing it back to that time. But it was just
throwing that nostalgia for us.
I like how he said that, how he was like, let's put it for nostalgia purposes, let's get rid of the hair.
Yeah, well, exactly, because he was saying he didn't need to shave it off, but exactly, it was for nostalgia purposes, and I felt that a lot of this movie, there was a lot of that nostalgia factor in it, which is part of what made it so enjoyable.
Exactly, and even, I don't know if you guys did see this in theaters or watched it on the internet, but, you know, a lot of people got to, if you did see it in the theaters, Funimation had all that, like, behind-the-scenes stuff and the trivia, and it was really cool how they kept bringing up, like, this is for the people who were kids at one when they first saw Frieza, and now that they're adults, they can bring their own kids to that.
And I was like, I love it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That just tugs right at the feels right there.
And I was like, I didn't even think about how long ago that was until now. I
it
mean,
was a long time ago.
I think they should have more anime screenings. You get like a room.
Yeah,
I
agree.
It was a crowded theater. Yeah. Everyone was enjoying it.
Sold out everywhere. Yeah. Like, it was hard to find a ticket. I had to drive all the way to, I mean, again, anybody who's in California, I had to drive all the way to Thousand Oaks at one point.
Oh, wow.
That was the only theater that had tickets left.
Oh,
that's crazy.
And it was
crazy.
It was crazy.
Yeah, it's, you know, I was very fortunate that I initially saw this at the English language dub premiere during Anime Expo, and the theater was totally packed, and the response was just phenomenal.
Yeah.
It was so much fun to be there. I mean, just like cheering and clapping and audible reactions constantly, especially when it came to the two characters who were sort of villains in Dragon of God, in Battle of Gods. Trying to make Dragon Ball. I was like, should I just shorten it or just go with the whole thing? Battle of Gods. Getting tongue-tied. Too excited. That they came back in this movie as I mean, they're still very much on their own side.
Yeah, of course.
But Whis, and who is the I love Whis
so much.
Who is the servant, attendant, unclear exactly what his relationship to Beerus, destroyer of planets, is. that's what he does. He destroys things. That's what he was gonna do.
Well, no, I knew that. I just think it's so funny because even though Beerus is a god, he still hasn't beat Whis in a battle. I think that's what they said in the Battle of Gods. And I was like, what is he? What are you?
He looks vaguely like a kangaroo.
He pretty much eats like one.
I know. Yeah. So that, I mean, so basically the reason that Bulma gets out this Sunday is to try to get their attention. Because this is how they have basically been bribing them into training Goku and Vegeta to be better fighters.
I'm sorry, if someone brought a sundae in here right now and they wanted something, it might have to happen.
Yeah, I just love that they were eating a pizza.
They
were on the planet training.
What is
training?
This gooey yellow stuff on top of this, you know, confection? It's, it started with a C, I think, and then Vegeta, it's cheese! that's where the comedic timing didn't have to be large, it's just like little things
thrown
in there.
And this is why I think that this movie works better overall than Battle of Gods is because these two characters are so funny.
Yeah.
They're so funny that it's better to see them in that sort of ambiguous, we're helping you, but we're really obviously serving ourselves kind of role rather than okay, we're hilarious, and suddenly we're antagonists, as it more so was in Battle of Gods.
Yeah.
The problem was, because they were so funny and you liked them so much, it was harder to dislike them as villains, quote unquote.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that in this movie, when you have Frieza back in that villain role, I mean, he's a villain, the end.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and speaking of Battle of Gods, when Beerus and we showed up, I mean, even though it was like, oh yeah, they're a threat, but because they were so funny and whimsical and kind of like that witty kind of humor, it was kind of like, yeah, I'm going to like them. They're definitely not going to be a Frieza type where I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to hate both of you at the same time.
And you can almost feel from the beginning of that movie, okay, these guys are going to turn out to be not all that bad.
Yeah, exactly. Or they're going to be on our team eventually.
Eventually. Yeah. And they sort of are in this movie. For all intents and purposes, they are in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, they could technically just destroy the planet and then be like, all right, bye, and like leave. Yeah. But they're hanging out for food.
Yeah, for
just food.
I mean, they have their priorities straight. That's what I'm saying. I do a lot of things for food.
Yeah, straight up.
So let's talk about all the various battles with Frieza and friends.
Okay, yes, let's do it.
So initially we see the Z Fighter team minus Goku and Vegeta, obviously, who are off training. So we've got Gohan in a tracksuit and glasses.
Daddy Gohan.
Daddy Gohan. Tien joins the fight. Krillin and Piccolo, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Who I love. Yeah. Just love Piccolo. And and Master Roshi.
Yeah,
I'm so
that
glad.
Was a pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
I loved as soon as he, like, put his staff up and then, you know, does his usual bulk up motion. And I'm like, oh, man, this is it.
Yeah.
This is my 15-year-old self just dying right now.
He's kind of a dilf, you know. Triton's got nothing on him.
Hey, man, you know? I completely agree with you.
Right.
I'm like, every time I see him, I'm like, oh, I hope you kick some ass right now.
Yeah, he totally does. That's the thing, is that aside from actually fighting Frieza himself, everybody else does pretty great against Frieza's lackeys.
Yeah.
Including Daddy Gohan, who admits that he has not been training.
I love it, because he was so happy, but he was, or not happy, but he was very positive about it. He's like, I mean, I could still go Super Saiyan whenever I want. And I was like, oh, God, I hope you're not terrible right now.
Yeah. And he wasn't terrible.
He did a good job.
That's what I was saying.
You know?
I was like, for someone who hasn't been training very long, you're doing just fine.
He stalled the situation.
He totally did. I was a little sad, but I also understand, and again, think this is another place where this movie made some smarter choices in streamlining some things than the previous film did. Is, you know, they didn't have Goten and Trunks in this at all.
Yeah, I miss Trunks.
Which I love little sass mouth baby Trunks. It's so awesome. Because he's so equal parts both of his parents.
Oh, yeah. It's perfect. And also the fact that I kind of like had like a huge crush on
teenage Trunks. Who didn't?
Who didn't?
I know. No, because I went with like, I brought like a few girls with me to the second screening because they were all on the same thing and they were really upset that Teenage Trunks wasn't in there. I'm like, guys, that's not really canon right now. He's obviously a baby right now.
Yeah.
So, sorry. But it's very interesting. Again, not to put a stop on us telling the story, but that was another thing, was the fact of a person who hasn't seen Dragon Ball Z in a really long time was like, it's kind of amazing to see so many people come to the theaters and sell them out for something that was kind of big when we were little.
Yeah.
But also just to know, like, if you walk around with the shirts that we're wearing or anything like that, someone will always recognize it.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah, so, like, if I'm, like, walking around the mall or even, like, at a concert or something, they're like, hey, nice shirt. Oh, my gosh, did you see the movie?
Yeah.
Ever since the movie came out, every place that I've gone to, Universal, the grocery store, whatever, someone has always been like, have you seen the movie? Is it good? Or I saw it three times. It's amazing.
Did you love it?
Tell me what it's blows my mind how much that this series has really affected people.
It has.
That much.
Me too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and it's kind of crazy.
And I think this is harkening back to what we were saying earlier about how this film does have so much of that nostalgia factor because it is centered around Frieza, who is an unforgettable villain if you've ever seen any Dragon Ball Z. I mean, if you've seen one episode with Frieza, you're never going to forget him because they made him such an interesting looking really evil character.
Exactly.
And
thank you, Japan.
Yes.
Yeah,
Japan.
Like, seriously.
And so, exactly. And as they were saying, like, this film was made for people who were terrified of Frieza as children so they can share that terror with their children.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's really super awesome. Yeah. I didn't mean to interrupt. Didn't hit me until now that we're talking about it. Other people are doing podcasts about it.
Yeah.
And again, the fact that I went around around literally the past like 3 days.
Yeah.
I would wear some sort of Dragon Ball Z attire.
Yeah.
And someone, or at least like I counted, I think when I went to Universal and I wore a different shirt, I think it's the over 9,000 one from Hot Topic. Every single person
I have that
at
one
Universal.
Too.
Yeah. Every single person I bumped into somewhere, food, anywhere, they were just kind of like, oh, I love your shirt. Did you see the movie? And I'm like, geez, that was like, I think I had a counter with me. I think I counted 27 people stopped me to say something. And
that's
that was all
so
in one
awesome.
Day.
That's 27 people you can instantly connect with.
Like, with anything. And usually most people who like Dragon Ball Z, they slowly start to like other animes or movies or whatever.
Yeah, it's definitely a gateway anime.
Yeah.
It was for me, this and Sailor Moon.
Yes. So
anime.
Many friends.
Yeah. it led to a lifelong weeaboo path that I can't get away from.
Yeah, and it's awesome. I mean, I would have never met you guys besides work, but
yeah,
like, you know, like we sure. wouldn't have connected through,
in the way
you know.
In the way that we do, yeah.
And we wouldn't be doing this show
I
right
know.
Now.
It's just so exciting.
I know.
Yeah.
It's so great. I'll get off my box now.
No. I loved also, okay, so with in the actual fight with Frieza, once Goku and Vegeta come back because Whis and Beerus have been convinced to come back to eat the strawberry sundae.
Yeah, and apparently Vegeta doesn't like to hold hands. So.
Oh, I know.
He's so mad about that.
I thought that was kind of cute. I just love the evolution of Vegeta and Goku's friendship from hating each other, having like epic long episodes of hating each other, fighting each other, and then becoming friends and frenemies. I think they're the
frenemies.
Perfect duo.
That's what they are.
That's
they were
exactly
friends.
What they are.
Like,
yeah.
Straight up. But yeah, I never thought about that until this movie. I'm like, oh man, they're friendship relationship thing that they have going on is so big now.
It's like, you know, their friendship's solid, but also there's some volatileness in there.
Oh, they're rivals. They will always be rivals.
He's like, not only does he not want to hold his hand, he's kind of, when he's not sure if he wants to turn to Frieza's side, I, as a viewer, I'm thinking he might actually
side
with
him. I was like freaking out. I was like, no, don't do it. I know that you hate Goku to a point, but don't do it.
I never thought he would do it.
Yeah.
I did a little bit.
I was like,
it was like a hair. I was like, don't do it.
No, there was that little tiny thought in the back of my brain. But ultimately it was like, no, cause he loves his family on Earth, and
right.
he knows, though he's not very obvious about it, or traditionally obvious about it.
Unless you hit Bulma, and
I know,
all of a sudden
and then
he
goes just Super Saiyan.
He's traditionally Japanese about it.
Yeah, there it is.
That's a good way of putting it.
Very awesome. So basically, they figure out in this fight with Frieza, who has evolved into a new level of Frieza, Golden Frieza.
I was like, of course.
Of course.
Gold Frieza.
But Goku figures out that since Frieza has never really properly trained this new form, he hasn't actually mastered it, so it is draining all of his energy immediately, and he can't sustain that form, so Goku beats him very easily. And then we get into sort of this moral dilemma that I thought was really interesting, because I feel like, and this is not across the board, you know, Dragon Ball Z has always had its moments where it does deal a little bit with morality and doing the right thing, but usually it's just, Goku's so innocent. Like, that's kind of the thing with Goku.
Yeah.
However, in this movie, after he defeats Frieza to a point that he could very well kill him, there is this moment of him delaying and considering whether or not he should.
Yeah.
Well, he's candid.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
very candid. So,
yeah.
That's how he is. And the fight scene itself, the thing that crossed my mind was, this is what Superman and Man of Steel was trying to do.
Yeah! Wow, I never thought
right?
of it that
I
way.
Thought about that. I'm like, this anime does it better. Sorry, Man of Steel.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
I mean, it really shows, like, even though Goku is the strongest one ever, he's just all full of heart.
Yeah.
So, I mean, which makes people love him that much, but
yeah.
I didn't think about it until I was watching this movie. I'm like, oh, this is going to really end badly. Even though it was a stun gun or something crazy like
that?
Yeah,
that he gets shot in the head
with. I was like, come on, buddy. You should know better than
that. Goku virtually never truly grows up from Dragon Ball to Dragon Ball Z. He still has that candor. It's like, I always still imagine him with a monkey tail.
I know.
That's a cute little...
Being a little boy running around.
Yeah, he's still that to me.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, there were parts where I was like, when I really thought about it and I was watching, I'm like, wow, Goku's really grown up. And then he does something real stupid. And I'm like, nah, nope, yep, there he is.
Exactly.
I see it. Like every time when Vegeta would try to get in there and he's just like, no, it's my turn. I'm like, oh, yeah, there's Goku.
And it's funny because in many ways, even Gohan's a lot more mature than his own dad.
No, like for sure.
Yeah.
Tracksuit.
It's all tracksuit. Tracksuit. He certainly seemed more mature than him in this movie.
He got it from his mama.
Yeah.
Seriously.
I know.
For sure.
Chi-Chi knows what's what.
She knows how to put him in his place.
She definitely does.
Yeah, I
was sort of bummed that she wasn't
I know.
In this movie.
She was an icon growing up, too. You know?
Yeah. I know a lot of people who wanted... actually, it's funny. I didn't know many people who wanted to be Bulma. It was either A-Teen or Chi-Chi.
Because, you know, she actually scared... Goku when they were fighting. He's like, oh crap, like this girl's really hurting me.
I remember because this is really taking it back, but the first Dragon Ball Z thing I ever saw was the first Dragon Ball Z movie, which when it was distributed in the US, it was called Dead Zone. That's what it was called. I think I saw it during Saturday Anime one time, and I remember, and you know, Chi-Chi is in that movie when Garlic Jr. comes to, it ends up kidnapping Gohan to get the number 4 Dragon Ball off the top of his hat.
Yeah.
And but like Chi-Chi fights back and she kind of holds her own for a little while.
Badass. No, I would never mess with Chi-Chi. No. Ever, especially when it comes to her kids.
No, like, definitely not. Yeah. But ultimately it is Goku who more or less defeats almost Frieza and then gets shot in the head with a stun gun because he offers him, Frieza, I'm not going to kill you, but leave Earth forever.
Yeah.
Very naive, if you ask me.
Yeah, because I was sitting there going, thinking, like, you think Frieza's just going to up and leave just because he has a second chance at life? No, he's here to either, he's ride or die.
I think he'd rather be dead than leave forever.
And we kind of found that out at the very end of the movie.
I know, seriously. Yeah, after, you know, Goku does get shot with the stun gun, then Vegeta has to kind of step in, and as we were saying earlier, Kaori, like, Frieza does make that offer to Vegeta of, you kill Goku, and I won't kill you.
How cheap of him, though, to be like, you can do my job for me.
Yeah, I was kind of like, this is where Frieza, the pride in him is just, it always gets the best of him, I feel, because he always sits there and he's like, I am awesome, but I'm not going to waste any more energy of mine, but if you want to join my team, I mean, it's just me and Sorbet, but, you know... We can make that work. You just have to work for me again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you think Vegeta's going to work for you again after what you did?
Right.
Like,
yeah, you destroyed his planet.
No, that's not happening.
I don't think that's going to work out for you.
But because he doesn't think about that. He has blinders on. He's like, Goku's there. He's dying. You help me out.
Mm. Yeah, it's true. Well, because once again, and this goes back to Frieza is a bad guy. The end.
Yeah.
No redeeming qualities.
Yeah. He couldn't even defeat Goku on his own. He used Sorbet to hit him with a ray gun.
Yeah.
Like, straight up. Like,
yep.
So stupid. I mean, he's kind of smart, but still.
Yeah. So, of course, and another thing that we see in this movie is using that new Super Saiyan God form.
Oh, so cool. I love it.
I do, too. I really do.
I want a blue wig now of that shape.
Right? You got to do the little eyebrows, too.
Yeah, you got to do the eyebrows.
Those things were thick.
Yeah.
Like Japanese people.
Yeah. I feel like overall, you know, this movie, something that I brought up earlier is that it does, even in these really serious moments, it still, like, incorporates that kind of fun quality. Even when Vegeta, because Vegeta is kind of like playing with Frieza a little bit here.
Yeah.
And that's something that I feel like overall, like the earlier films, with the exception of Battle of Gods, which I felt was so much comedy, and then all of a sudden it was a fight.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of the earlier movies, as far as I can remember them, they're a lot more sort of dark tone.
Yes.
I'm glad you said that because I was going to ask you guys, because when I was growing up, I would watch these in Japanese. So this is my very first time seeing it in English.
Okay.
And I thought, there's a lot of humor, and I was curious as it's this translation and how it changes around, or was it the evolution?
I have no idea. I never thought about it that way.
I think it's the evolution. I think it's more, because I remember as a kid watching Dragon Ball Z, and I also watched Dragon Ball.
Right.
And I actually liked Dragon Ball better.
Oh, Dragon Ball was epic.
Than Dragon Ball Z. It was a fun adventure story, and it was funny, and again, you know, in that series, Bulma really was one of the main characters.
She was.
She had a lot to do. And so I always kind of preferred Dragon Ball to Dragon Ball Z, and I think something that these new movies have done a really good job of is incorporating that fun, that humor that we saw in Dragon Ball into Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
Okay.
I hear what you mean. I mean, I can't attest for the movies because I really can't remember them because they're so spread out through our ages
totally.
And stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I do remember feeling like the movies prior to this, these last two seemed like they were a little darker. Like, I remember watching them and I remember feeling something totally different than being entertained. It was more like, holy crap balls. Like, this is epic stuff.
Yeah.
Things are happening. Like, I don't know. Like, I can't actually remember, like, events, but I remember it being a totally different serious tone.
Yeah.
So I don't think I've ever laughed this much.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I laughed so much during this movie.
Yeah, there's a lot of humor.
Because once again, even when we are in the midst of this battle, we keep going back to people over on the sidelines.
Just making their little comments.
Eating their ice cream sundae.
Yeah. You stole my strawberry. You didn't think I would see that?
Hold on, guys. Something serious is happening.
Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like anime back in the 90s, it was either a really good balance of having humor and seriousness. Like, I always compare it to Full Metal Alchemist, how it could be like extremely serious. Someone died and you can be crying at the very end, but then they'll show another clip and it'll be like you kind of smirk up a little bit after that. And that's what it felt like watching this movie. But yeah, I might want to go back and actually watch it in Japanese because I used to watch
that's what I recommend. Definitely.
Yeah. I watched
Dragon Ball in Japanese.
I remember watching here and there because I had an ex-girlfriend of mine used to watch it all in Japanese because she was half.
Right.
So I can't remember for the life of me if the tone was different until now.
Yeah.
It's just a buttload of difference. But I don't know because I haven't watched Dragon Ball Z Resurrection F in Japanese yet.
I might have to look that up.
I think we should.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Because even like Sailor Moon Crystal, like I watch it in Japanese and then I look at the subtitles and I'm like, that's not really what
you're like. That's
saying.
Not really the right translation.
It's interesting. I suggest everyone should go.
I'm gonna have to do that.
I have not seen this in Japanese yet. I've only seen it in the English dub. Which I really here's the thing. Dragon Ball in the U.S. in North America in general has been in the hands of multiple companies because it was one of the first anime series that we got on TV in the U.S. So, as dubs were in the early days, they were very rushed.
Yeah.
I didn't
think about that.
It was kind of it was like a one take and nope, that's good. So that what we were watching initially on Sci-Fi and ultimately on Cartoon Network.
I think
it ran in syndication on some other networks before it kind of found its home and its footing and actually aired all in order on Cartoon Network. Was not necessarily the most polished of products. However, since Funimation took over, they've basically gone back and redubbed everything. Not the whole series, but they did Kai, which is, you know, the condensed.
I actually tried, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. After rewatching it to a point, I was kind of like, whoa, I don't remember it being this show. Okay, all right, fine.
Yeah.
You know, well, I mean,
because in the original series, they would spend 25 episodes creating one energy bomb, specifically in the Frieza saga.
Yeah.
I actually really like Kai, where they kind of are like, we don't need quite so much fighting. We're gonna streamline, just get the plot a little more.
That's totally fine with me.
But I actually think Funimation has done a really good job with Dragon Ball Z. And I find that Funimation, because, you know, they started doing some of those really pretty good dubs, like Full Metal Alchemist.
Heck yeah.
And so, you know, they use a lot of the same actors, and they just put another sort of level of effort into it, I feel. Also on the promotional side of things, because, you know, Funimation had this big red carpet premiere at the Egyptian Theater back in April, and then had this premiere at Anime Expo, and they recently, you know, did the world premiere of the Attack on Titan movie here in the U.S., and that was all sponsored by Funimation. So they just, there's another level of, like, interest in their product, yeah. I feel, than some of the other companies.
Yeah, I feel like Funimation really cares about their product, and they know that the fans are very dedicated to what the product that they have. Mm-hmm. So I feel like with their box sets and their behind the scenes clips, I feel like they're like, we're playing to you guys. This is what you guys love. We're going to make you guys, you know, feel like you're enjoying whatever, you know, we're watching.
Yeah.
So I've always loved that about them. Yeah. You guys are awesome.
Yeah. just to wrap up sort of talking about the story, and we'll move on to talking about some other elements of the film. How did you guys feel about the ending of this?
It was a little anticlimactic.
I'll let you go first. I'll get into mine in a second.
Like, all that, and that's how it ends. Like, yeah. I wanted it to be a little better, but, you know, I'm just
You didn't like the time loop thing?
Yeah, I thought it was just a cop-out.
I could see that.
They've done better.
I agree. I could totally see that. What did you think, Alexis?
I mean, I didn't mind it, but I was talking to a couple people right after we first watched it, and a friend of mine, I'm going to steal this from you, made a really good point of the fact that he didn't hate the ending, but he kind of wished that Vegeta kind of, like, changed it a little bit, by meaning that he still got his cake and ate it, too, because I feel bad that Goku had to steal that from him.
Yeah, yeah.
But I like what he said, that he wanted Vegeta to kind of come in, kind of play with that teasing, mm-hmm. which he kind of did. Mm-hmm. But at that same point, he wanted him to learn from what Whis told him and be like, hey, you know what? I learned a lot. I am really training with Whis. I'm going to do this now, and then you're going to die. So he wouldn't have even gotten to the volcano at that point.
Well, because it's like Whis made a comment that if the two of them, if Goku and Vegeta had teamed up from the beginning, this would not have been a problem.
Right. Exactly.
They easily defeated Frieza.
Very true.
As much as we didn't want, like, the sense of being was very helpful. It's just that, he wanted that to be like, hey, you know, you need to, you know, give him the little pep talk that Vegeta usually does, you know, which is mostly just yelling at him.
Yeah.
And then have him and Goku have the giant battle between the three of them.
I just don't think Frieza would have allowed it
No, yeah. I figured there would have been some out, but, like, that's what I kind of wanted. I wanted my team up.
Yeah, I wanted a team up, too.
Right.
I think that's the girl in me, though. Like, a little bit where I'm like, oh, everybody just cooperate. Teamwork. Yay.
Yeah, no, I and feel you.
Unfortunately, that's not really what Dragon Ball...
I mean, to be fair, that is their rendition of teaming up.
No, that is true. Yeah. No, you're right. It's taking turns.
Yeah, which is totally fine. I just... giant 10-year-old in me was kind of like, let's see it. Let's see it.
Since they don't want to fuse with each other anymore.
Well, yeah, obviously. That's never happening again.
No. I totally agree with you that, that was the one thing is I would have liked to see them learn from that training and have a team up. But at the same time, I did feel it was in character for both of them to be like, but I kind of like working alone, and Goku agreeing, and they're like, hey, we found something we agree on.
I just felt like the end was very... Okay, we did so well, and we're reaching this point, but it's only going to be 90 minutes long. We need to end this. What are we going to do?
Yeah, it was kind of rushed.
Time loop!
Yeah, I felt like it was like Ex Machina kind of way of life.
It was a little Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah. As soon as when we said it earlier, I was like, oh God, I hope that time loop thing doesn't come back to bite me in the butt.
Right. And it did.
Totally did.
You just wanted to culminate into something massive and it ended up being a 5-minute time loop fix. Or even less.
Yeah. I think it was 3 minutes or something.
Yeah. 3 minutes. Like you can only go back in time 3 minutes.
But, like, did anybody actually think that Frieza was going to destroy the Earth? Like, that actually caught me off guard.
I was surprised that Frieza destroyed the Earth. However, we had learned earlier that Whis had the ability to turn back time.
But that's what I was trying to say. I was like, I wonder if that's going to come back. Or if he's just saying that for, like, to... Because I know that the new series is supposed to be coming out.
Dragon Ball Super is airing in Japan right now.
Yeah, okay, that's what I thought. So I didn't know if maybe that was, like, setting up, because I don't know if they're going to be in it. No. I didn't really read into it that much, because I kind of want to be surprised.
Yeah.
But I know I'm going to start watching it in Japanese first, and then watch the dub whenever it comes out.
I recommend that for everybody.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And so I haven't started yet, but that's what I kind of wanted, was just the team up, and then that was it. And then you're done.
But, and then we're done.
Yeah.
But
whatever.
Yeah. But other than that, and once again, it's I didn't dislike the ending.
Yeah, I didn't hate it.
It just could have been better.
Fine-tuned or something.
Yeah. But overall, very enjoyable movie.
That's why I saw it three times.
Really fun. Didn't suffer from the same pacing issues, I felt, anyway, as Battle of Gods. Really fun throughout. Had that really nice balance between the comedy and the seriousness and the action. Really nice animation, of course. And we see this a lot with anime that is released theatrically is the animation really is on a much different level.
Very clean.
Very clean. Yeah.
I noticed that.
Yeah, lots of highlights.
It was great. I loved everything about it. I was like, oh, they're getting the shade and the highlights in there. I like it.
They need to make their box office money.
Hey. Yeah. But the question I wanted to ask was, what was your favorite scene to watch? Or what was the favorite scene that you took away from that? Like animation, comedy, or I guess it's animation writing, or something that brought back a memory for you.
Brought back a memory
so
for me.
Hard. I know. I mean, I just want to know.
I really related to the pizza thing.
That was pretty funny.
Throw that out there.
I'm not gonna lie.
Loved that.
I don't think I can pinpoint one thing that was my favorite, mm-hmm. but one thing that really shocked, valued me, and I'm gonna say it again, is Gohan, all grown up, skinny, tracksuit, short haircut, and extremely smart. It just... Whoa!
Into it.
Whoa!
Like that. I have to agree with Kaori on that one. It was because I was sitting there going, who is that? Yeah. Like, I actually had a hard time because I was like, what? And then someone's like, it's Gohan. I was like, lies.
Yeah.
That's a bunch of BS.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like him. Hair. Like, that's not him at all.
For me, the...
Glasses. No, it's weird. It's so weird.
I feel like for me, the ultimate sort of nostalgia moment that I touched on a little bit earlier was Bulma hiding behind the rocks and just like throwing shade at Frieza.
Oh my god, and she was just yelling.
I mean, that's exactly what she did during that story arc. This is the first time, though, that she actually encountered Frieza face to face because she never actually saw him.
When they were looking for the
Dragon Balls on Namek during that that time period when Goku was training with King Kai and she and Krillin went to go try to revive him. Classic.
Sorry, every time I think of Krillin, I'm just like,
Krillin.
So many things.
He's so cool.
He's so cool. But no, I think for me, I can't think of exactly what my pinpoint was. I think just seeing him go from his pod form to final form like that really threw me back to like, whoa, this is serious business. And like, he's here to kill somebody.
It was kind of really easy for him to transform.
That's what made me nervous because I was like, okay, so his next form, which we've all seen pictures of before the movie came out, I was like, oh man, his gold weird Laker form must be so badass.
Seriously.
And I was so afraid.
Yeah.
I was like, no.
So as I said, Funimation, of course, handled the dub of this in the U.S. And at this point, I can't really speak as to the Japanese version because I haven't Japanese subtitles. I mean, I very much want to. It's actually funny. I was talking with my brother, who's a huge Dragon Ball Z fan, about how I was covering this when I was doing the event back at Anime Expo. And he's like, yeah, I haven't been able to find it anywhere on the internet. I really want to watch it in Japanese with subtitles.
I think somebody put it in the chat that you can... Oh, maybe... It looks like you can watch all the Dragon Ball Z videos or movies at Kiss Anime. So maybe they have the series on there, too. Or maybe the new one. But thanks, Enrique Pena, on the chat for that. So maybe we could look into that maybe after. But I don't know. It's got
to
be there somewhere.
Yeah, I feel like when it is released, to home video, to Blu-ray and DVD.
VHS!
Really kicking it old school.
You can just go to the Japanese DVD store.
Yeah, that is true. That they probably do have it. Fortunately, we have access to things like that living here in Los Angeles. But I feel like when they do release it on Blu-ray and DVD that it will, of course, be the two different languages. So I'm looking forward to seeing it in Japanese because I always enjoyed the Japanese performances, though it's very interesting that
it's completely different in
Japan, and they have had basically the exact same cast entire time.
Yeah, which I think is super
since
cool.
Since the 80s, when Dragon Ball was airing.
Means they love doing it.
You
know?
Yeah, it's so incredible. But, of course, one of the major differences between the original and the dub is that, and when he's a little kid, Goku is voiced by a woman doing the voice of a little boy. However, in Japan, Goku's always voiced by a woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which I thought was super cool. And some people were like, no. And I'm like, do you understand that when you hear those high voices, that's usually not men?
I mean, Bart Simpson.
Yeah. I'm like, it doesn't really matter. No. Yeah. I think, I actually like Goku's voice in Japan.
Masako Nozawa's been doing Goku's voice
forever.
Since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
It's the only person to do Goku's voice.
No, and if I heard it any differently, it would be weird to me.
Yeah, totally.
Because I grew up with it.
Yeah, and she does Gohan's voice as well, and then consequently is able to do their voices both as children and as adults. So they actually have many less voice actors yeah. in Japan than
I mean,
they do.
It's just like the Boondocks, where I can't yeah. remember the actress's name, but she does both of the boys.
Yeah. yeah.
Like, straight up. Yeah. And you could tell the difference between them, so I always found that awesome.
Yeah, I can easily do a man voice. I can just talk normal.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. We're all ladies with rich, resonant kind of voices. We could totally be men.
Husky, yeah. raspy.
Yeah. I don't know.
I should scare people off, like, you know.
Yeah. But that being said, I do think that the Funimation cast is quite good, and they have been working on the series for a very long time now.
Which I loved that, if you watched it in the movie theaters and everything, I can't remember the actor who plays Goku now.
Sean Schemmel.
Thank you. That he was talking about in the clip before the movie that he was really nervous about playing Goku because, you know, the Canadian cast has been doing it for so long and things. But when he actually was fighting Frieza back in whatever, was it 93 or 96 or whatever that was, and he went full Super Saiyan for the first time, he was like, this is it. I have become Goku.
You're like,
now.
This is it. I'm done.
And every time I hear him talk, I'm like, yeah, you're Goku.
I think actually those are probably my favorite moments were when they turned into Super. I watched him Gohan turn into it for a brief moment.
Because he can still go Super Saiyan whenever
like,
he wants.
I can do this. Like, yes, you can.
And it brings back everything. But I love how when, like, Frieza is always just like, oh, what are you, like, you know, you're Super Saiyan, but with blue hair, like, highlights now.
Exactly.
Or hair down now, right? And I was like, oh, my word.
Again, that's like bringing that comedy back into it. Always goes back to, this is fun! We might all die, but we're having a great time!
That's what I'm going to look at. Yeah.
But I really enjoyed Sean Schemmel's performance as Goku. I think he's just great. And Christopher Sabat, who does both the voice of Vegeta and also of Piccolo. I mean, come on! Yeah, how do you get to do both of their voices?
You can't go wrong with that. Like, yeah. That's pretty awesome. But you can hear it sometimes, though. Not for me to be nitpicky, I can hear it sometimes where I'm like, you just did the
same
guy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, they have sort of similar pasts in a way.
Yeah. That's why I feel like, you know, even though they're not like best friends, I feel like that's why they can get along to a point.
Right.
Yeah. And Kylie Bear is the voice of Gohan, adult Gohan, and he's lovely. I got to interview Sean and Chris and Kyle and a bunch of other people at Anime Expo, including Chris Ayres, who does the voice of Frieza.
That's the one, like, there's only, like, a few voice actors who can look like their characters. Not saying that he looks like Vegeta, but, like, when you see his face.
Like Frieza.
Frieza, like, when you see his face, like, even when doing his interviews, and I watched your interview, I was like, yeah, he looks just like him. Yeah. Like, he could totally be a little pod and, like, hovering around and be like,
He could absolutely could. But he's the nicest, nicest guy.
That was great.
And the thing that was really neat too about when I actually had a chance to talk with them is they all had already had a chance to see this movie.
Because
they were all at the premiere back in April when it premiered in Japanese with subtitles.
Yeah.
So they got to actually go kind of enjoy it and not be critiquing their own performances.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is awesome.
Yeah, which is not something that you get to do every day.
Yeah. And it's also kind of weird. It's weird because we're doing a podcast, but I hate the sound of my voice. So I'm like, I would hate to watch, like, on a full screen.
Oh, girl.
Of somebody
your voice is
great.
Come on.
Yeah.
We need to do more shows more often.
Yeah. Great. Kaori, now, is this the first time you've really watched any Dragon Ball in English?
In English, it's my first time, yeah.
Wow.
So how do you, I mean, besides the translation, like, how do you feel about just...
It just felt more comical. And I mean, there was a lot of comedy in, you know, the anime when I was growing up watching. That's why I was curious to see your point of views and perspectives on, is this a thing, or is it just happen to be just the growth and the, you know, generation change of Dragon Ball Z?
I'm very curious, honestly. I'm really, really curious to watch this in Japanese and kind of compare those performances.
We should have a movie night.
Done!
Yeah. I'm so down.
We're going to get the Blu-ray anyway. I might be on it.
That's right. That's true. That'd be awesome.
It'll be awesome.
But as I say, Funimation puts a lot of heart into their products. Mm. And I think that this movie, considering that, you know, the way Japanese animation is dubbed into English is you've got an actor by themselves in a booth with their lines basically watching the flaps of the mouth of the character they're voicing and recording it. They're sort of in a vacuum. They are not acting with other actors.
Nope.
So that being the case, I think they did a pretty good job conveying, you know, the sort of emotion as well as the comedy of this film.
Yeah, and I mean, I think I've talked about it with you in previous just chats, but, you know, there's a culture difference. So things that Japanese people find funny, I think they have to adjust it to make it
humorous. And that, I was going to say, is something that I think Funimation does extremely well, is they go, this is supposed to be funny. It's not really going to read to an American audience. How are we going
to
tweak this
joke? I think that's what they have
to do. So they think that it's funny.
Yeah.
Sorry if anybody who's listening heard some rattling. I accidentally just knocked over my coins.
Okay. Yeah, really cool.
Yeah. So just to continue singing Funimation's praises for a little while before we get into talking about how awesome the music in this movie is. So at Comic-Con this year, Funimation threw a Dragon Ball Z Resurrection F party. These lovely coins that Dragon Ball Z Resurrection F on them. These were actually drink tokens. You were only supposed to get one. I ended up with a stack.
What?
I was dressed as Bulma, so that was probably obviously something to do with it. So
also, you guys should go check out her cosplay of Bulma because it's pretty good.
And then they also gave me this cup. This is what my drink came in. And the coolest thing about this party was they had an ice luge in the shape of Shenron.
Oh my gosh,
So they poured like shots through it. And so I kept my shot glass too. Yeah.
That sounds like something any of my best friends are watching. birthday party, wedding stuff later on.
Covered in Funimation swag now.
I just want you to just get a Shenron shot.
It was pretty rad.
I want it.
Yeah. So here's something that I thought was super cool. So when I went and saw this movie during the English language dub premiere during Anime Expo, I was with Katie Collin, who we've all done shows with here at AfterBuzz, and she was filming for me. And so she and I went to the premiere, and we were sitting there, and they're playing the ending song, and she's like, "Man, this song is awesome." So that song, of course, is by Moira Clover Z, who does the Sailor Moon theme song as well.
I didn't know
that. They were having a concert next door at the Nokia Theater while the movie was ending and we were listening to that song.
What?
Yep.
Universe.
I know.
What up, man?
So good.
Sorry, my dog is snoring.
We have a mascot with us here today.
She
fell asleep. She's pretty tired of talking about Dragon Ball.
Yeah, I'm saying.
Yeah, she seems pretty asleep to me.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was like, I don't think she's moving.
She's adorable.
So Mamiro Clover Z, I love the song that they did for this movie, the ending song. What is it called? Z no Chikai, which is Pledge of Z, apparently translated.
That's cool.
I don't know, Kaori, if you can verify my sources.
It's good.
It's good.
It's good.
It's good. Okay,
I'm gonna have the Kaori like approval.
Yeah, there it is.
I love this song so much. I can totally listen to this while I'm like working out.
And apparently, all of the girls in Momoclo are big Dragon Ball Z fans.
Cool. Yeah.
Why not?
It's a great song.
It is. It's a great song. Though I did also like the opening, because I remember when we were going into the opening and my brain was going, okay, what was the opening song to this anime series? Yep, I remember it. And then there it was, the like sort of contemporary cover of Headshot.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I was like, oh my gosh, that was, because at first I was kind of like, what are they playing? And I was like, oh nope, yeah,
you guys are like chiming into like these memory banks.
I know, right?
Exploding.
Yeah, that was how I felt when the movie started and the Chala Headshot started happening.
Oh my god,
it was like the back of my brain. It was just like a memory unlocked.
Yeah, and I just saw literally swipes.
Yeah, exactly, and them just like soaring through the air on a cloud.
I know, that was my favorite part, but it was so crazy. Because when I first watched it, I went to City Walk to watch it.
Oh, okay.
And the theater, literally, they all stood up when this song was played. Even though the song wasn't that long for this movie, people were standing and cheering and wooing, and I was just like,
we love it.
Yeah.
But it was crazy because I wasn't expecting it, but it was so cool. Like, I think, at one point, the people in City Walk were also, like, the movie theater employees were all, they, like, replayed it because it was like fast forwarded.
That's so
sweet. They rewound it and then did. I was like, oh my god, this is crazy.
They know what's up. They knew.
Yeah, that was great. The people in the chat, I just noticed. noticed are asking about the what we thought about the Frieza.
Okay, that's the death metal thing I was talking about.
Yeah, the death metal thing.
Because I mean, again, bringing it back to like the '90s things, where like just in randomly in the middle of a anime movie, they like throw music in for like characters. So when they were doing that, I was like, are they playing death metal? Oh, because Frieza. Okay,
Frieza. Yeah,
makes sense.
Yeah.
What'd you guys think of the happy, the other Frieza song with the happy dancing singing bears?
I mean, feel like they can't picture.
Yeah,
I was like, absolute happiness and joy. It was and like cheerfulness.
So it would be like, you know what it is? It would be like being stuck on It's a Small World for the rest of your life.
That is my actual.
But think about someone who loves evil dealing with happiness. That's twice.
I'm not someone who loves evil. You know? I think I'm a relatively good person, so, and Frieza, that sounds miserable to me.
Not happy.
No, like, I think all of us could agree that if let's say you took It's a Small World, but through like I'm having a hard time, Care Bears and Teletubbies and like
Gummy Bears
and Gummy Bears and stuff, and just threw them all into one ride and you could not leave. You had to sit in the middle and listen to that loop over and over. I don't care, you could be an angel, you would hate that eventually, to the point where you're sitting there trying to like take like apart these animatrons.
So overall, I felt like especially the sort of pop and rock songs in the movie to me were extremely memorable and really played in it at nice moments. The soundtrack overall, I felt, was kind of unobtrusive, if that makes sense.
It was
enjoyable there, but aside from like the Frieza death metal and the Momoko ending song and the Hechala at the beginning, there wasn't anything that was like, oh yeah, get it, you know?
It was there, and it wasn't like a filler, but
it was good.
It was something that, either way,
she's awake again.
Either way, it was enough to start something a little bit, to be like, oh, okay, this is happening. But then I didn't like stand up and like, you know, do a Carlton or anything. It was just
kind of like, Carlton.
All things you would do a Carlton.
I don't know. My happy dance. I'm sorry. But yeah, it wasn't extremely over the top. Memorable.
Yeah. I mean, it was the same guy, Norihito Sumitomo, who composed the music for Battle of Gods, and as I say, it was good, but it wasn't... But at the same time, I don't think that the movie necessarily called for a big, sweeping, emotional soundtrack.
No.
Because it was mostly funny.
Yeah, I mean, even if it, like, because sometimes I try to throw score into even just comedies and stuff. I feel like it would have been a weird thing to see.
Music. I think if they had tried to kind of score the comedy into the music, it would have been jarring.
It would've been weird.
It also would have been more difficult, I think, for them to translate the jokes that didn't quite translate. For a Western audience.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember if anyone could help me out. Was when Goku and Frieza were battling? Was there actual? Like, I feel like there was music.
There
right?
was music. Yeah, okay. Yeah. There was some electric guitars happening.
That's a thing.
That's
what was hitting me. I was like, wait a minute, was there music during the fight scene?
Yeah.
Usually there's always music during the fight scene.
Yeah, but again, it was kind of subtle and understated, not necessarily in a bad way, but not in a inspiring me to get up and want to fight way that Frieza death metal song.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, the movie itself was enough to be like, all right, I'm pumped, but like, the music didn't really help with that. I just know that at one point, I'm trying to remember exactly what it was, but it's kind of hard to really hear music when Frieza and Goku are yelling the whole time.
Exactly. That's true. That is the thing. There's a lot of
like over and over and over, especially Frieza. Every time when he goes into his high-pitched scream, I'm like, I don't need anything. I'll just take that.
Oh, that high-pitched
scream. I love that. Every single time. I'm like, I don't know how I don't know how short Chris Ayres is, but like...
He's pretty little. I think he's shorter than I am.
Yeah. But like, I can't actually see anytime that he goes into those long screams. I know that there's sound editing in that, but like, his little body, I feel like he's just gonna be like Piglet, where he just like falls over because he's screaming. Because it's intense.
It is. It's really intense.
I can't scream like that loud and then
yeah, it's
like,
true. No, Alexis, now that you point that out, I feel like it's true. Like, a lot of the soundtrack of this is kind of the fight incidental noises.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with it.
No.
You know, as Dragon Ball Z fans or Dragon Ball fans, we all laugh about the fact that all it is screaming. But it's a true talent that these actors can sit there and scream for long periods of time. And again, not be like, I remember, again, not to bring any other movies in there, but The Rock in Hercules, he had to bust these chains off this wall and he was screaming, and he screamed so loud and for so long he actually passed out on set. He talked about
it. Actually, so, Sean actually told me, Sean Schimmel, that he passed out in the booth. Not recording this, but previously.
Yeah.
I don't even think he was working on Dragon Ball Z. He was working on something else, but yeah, he totally just passed out.
I think I wanted just to commend the actors, because I can't do that.
Yeah.
But I think that's awesome.
Maybe you can, though.
I know.
Oh, she's
what do you think,
heart,
Waka? Yeah. She hasn't made a sound the entire time,
she's
so.
She's a dog.
She's holding it for the next
one. So this movie just... It ended its official run in the U.S. It only officially ran from August 4th through August 12th.
Yes.
However, because it was so successful, it's still in a few theaters right now. Yeah. I think it's still playing out in, like, Whittier, and it was playing down in Long Beach. And, I mean, you gotta search for it. It's not like you can just go to CityWalk at Universal and go see it anymore.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it has been extremely successful. In the U.S. and Canada, it earned over $8 million in its limited run.
Wow.
Battle of Gods, just to give you guys sort of a reference point, earned $2.5 million approximately through the entirety of its 8-day run. So, I mean, practically, basically quadrupled. math, it's hard.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it makes sense because we wanted more after Battle of Gods.
Yeah. It's so fun to have anime in theaters. And just to give you guys a little bit more perspective also on Dragon Ball Z Resurrection F. So basically on its opening day, it earned $1.9, almost $2 million. So it was almost already matching what Battle of Gods got in its whole 8-day run.
Mm.
And it opened something like number 6 at the box office.
Huh, that's pretty good.
That's pretty darn good.
Really? Yeah, actually.
Yeah.
And considering it was only released in 903 theaters and only shown for 8 days, in that time it made it to 9th place on the overall highest grossing anime films in the States.
That's pretty awesome.
Yep.
History in the making.
Guys. It is. It earned more money than Howl's Moving Castle, which only earned $4.7 million. I know. What is wrong with people?
I know. I'm just kidding.
That's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Me too.
And also The Wind Rises, which earned $5.2 million, both of which are, you know, Studio Ghibli, Hayao Miyazaki films. And both of those movies had mainstream long runs.
They did.
And Dragon Ball Z Resurrection F earned way more money than either of them.
I mean, but it makes sense, though. I feel like the fans are... I mean, not saying that their fans are not...
No, of course.
I feel like the family
is
now bigger.
That is true.
Now.
No, that's absolutely true. And that's the thing, is that because for so many of us, this is going back to the early days when you couldn't get on Netflix or the internet and just watch whatever you wanted.
Yeah,
you had to wait. We had, like, Speed Racer and Voltron, which is a weird mashup of multiple series of Go Lion, and Macross, which is a mashup of various series of Robotech.
Yeah.
So we kind of had this weird, and then you could see like the old Vampire Hunter D movie on TV.
My God.
But like the first,
what are you doing to me right now?
I'm just taking it back.
Jeez.
But some of Dragon Ball Z was one of the first anime series that we ever got to see. From beginning to end.
Yeah, that's kind of nuts.
In the States. So it's something that many anime fans in the U.S., they wouldn't be anime fans at all if it weren't for Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, because I don't know any other anime fans, women or men, children, whatever, that don't like Dragon Ball Z and then everything else comes after.
Exactly.
That.
So you know what's actually interesting is this kind of speaks to that thing that we see a lot of in Hollywood, where most of the movies that are being made are based on something that already has a very dedicated fan base.
Yeah.
You know, what earns the most money in the box office? The superhero movies.
Of course.
Because you're coming from this long history of people who've been into Batman, into Superman, into X-Men, into Spider-Man, Iron Man, all the Avengers. So this Dragon Ball Z, in comparison to other anime movies that were much more successful in Japan than Dragon Ball, than this movie was in Japan. This only ranks, I think, 14 in Japan overall, which is still, I mean, top 20. It's still incredible.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, so basically that they, it just kind of really supports that idea of if you have that built-in fan base already, you're going to be more successful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm.
That was a lot of numbers, Emma.
I know.
Holy smokes.
I know.
Look at you.
I know. Just crunching numbers. That's me. Crunching the numbers over here talking about Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So this movie itself, of course, was a sequel to Battle of Gods. Do you think that we'll see more of these kind of films?
Yes, with the success of this one,
yeah,
they know that there's a devout following.
Absolutely,
they keep it going.
Yeah,
and I also like that they kept Battle of Gods and this one around the same time frame, because I remember, I mean, now with technology getting a little bit better and social media and stuff like that, social media lets me know, you know, they have like the time hop.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had a notification from Time Hop that was like, hey, you went to see Dragon Ball Z around this time, and I was like, oh my god, I'm seeing it next weekend.
Yeah.
But it's been a whole year, so I don't know if they're gonna do like every year.
Yeah.
Maybe hold off because the new series
is starting. Yeah, because Battle of Gods came out in 2013. That's the only reason why I think might be a little more of a gap between films is only because they are working on Dragon Ball Super. So they may kind of get a little more into that before they start doing more movies based on the continuity of things that have happened in Super. But I mean, I think Battle of Gods, which I also really enjoyed, though I think I liked this movie a little better overall, just because I felt as a movie it was a little more cohesive.
Right.
Though I loved all the hijinks that went on for the majority of Battle of Gods. That movie, I think, really needed a sequel.
Yeah, I agree.
This movie, because we've got the series, I don't feel like it necessarily needs a theatrical sequel right away.
So what do you guys, I mean, I know that's going to be kind of hard to figure this question out that I'm about to ask, but like, what do you guys want to see for maybe the next movie that'll come out in like 5 years,
you know,
10 years,
honestly,
whatever?
What I would like to see, obviously, Goku, Vegeta, team up. Just team up, be friends, cooperate.
It'd be really cool to see a giant threat that they need both of them.
Yeah,
that's what I would.
You know what? That's what I would like to see, Alexis. I would like to see a threat that is so crazy that there is no way they can win unless Vegeta and Goku cooperate.
I actually want to see them go at it.
She wants to kick it old school.
I didn't think about that. I mean, I'm not saying that, like, I want, like, Vegeta to go, like, super, like, evil or back to his old ways and do that, but I would like for him to be like, you know what, I'm sick and tired of this Kakarot. We need to settle this right here and now.
Yeah.
We're gonna fight. Let's see who's actually better. No, I totally agree with that.
Something over something cheesy like a sundae.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But then in the end, they team up to battle the big bad evil.
Yeah. I feel like they should, maybe if we combine, you know, all of our stuff together, Captain Planet.
If we just fusion dance.
Yeah, there we go. But no, I feel like it'd be really cool that if we had a giant threat and they get into a fight about the fact of, like, who's actually going to face off on this giant threat. And he's like, fine, let's see who's actually going to fight me. Go ahead, you guys do that. And then they get into their usual battle. And then they figure out, no, that's stupid, let's just do it together. And then,
Or even just have, like, Vegeta being captured. And then so Goku is going to go have to go save him.
That'd be
and
really
then he
funny.
Gets captured. So then the rest of everybody needs to go save them.
Oh, that'd be cool.
That'd be fun.
I would love that. I would love to see somebody else take the spotlight.
And it is also very threatening because, crap, Goku and Vegeta got captured, which means whoever's threatening is mighty dangerous.
Oh, that'd be
so it'd be really
crazy.
Cool. Seriously. Think about it, guys.
Just put that, put that in your brain.
You're just blowing my mind today.
The one thing I will say is I think that based on the success of this movie's release in North America, that Funimation will really continue to push for its properties, theatrical releases to be released theatrically in the U.S. Right. For example, later in the end of September, that Attack on Titan film is actually going to be in theaters once again in kind of a limited
release. Is it weird that I'm a little worried? I know we're not talking about that.
Yeah, we're not.
I'm a little worried about it, but I'm going to stop there.
I've seen it.
Okay.
I saw it.
We'll talk later.
Yeah, hopefully we'll talk about it here at a later time.
What I do think
is whether or not this movie gets actual sequels aside, what we will see more of are
our anime films in theaters for us to enjoy here in North America.
I'm loving the chat so far. Gregory Castillo says, I want them both to die and let Goten and Trunks take over.
I love Goten and Trunks.
I do. I love them. I don't know about them dying, but I would like to see them, you know, take over.
They can go to another dimension.
We all need some Trunks in our life.
Yeah, hey man.
Yeah, we need teenage Trunks back for sure.
I don't think they'll ever. Chaos 13212 said, I don't think they'll ever let Vegeta save the day. Which makes me really sad.
It makes me really sad too. I don't think they'll ever let him save the day either, which is such a bummer.
It's kind of a tragic thing, but I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it because he caused a lot of grief.
I'm Team Vegeta, so
I mean, so am I. But like, you know, yeah, I hear you. I just feel like just because story wise, just to keep with it, they're not going to let Vegeta take over. But it would be cool though.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would love that. So obviously, I'm going to start watching Dragon Ball Super, and I cannot wait for this movie to be released on Blu-ray and DVD in the States so that we can get together and have our Japanese original version with subtitles viewing party.
That's gonna
Alexis
be great.
And I are going to need the subtitles. Sorry, Kaori. Yeah.
I like it. I like reading the subtitles, too.
Yeah, so do I.
Even in English, I'll watch every Netflix movie. Subtitles, please.
Just I have to.
It helps me focus.
I don't know what they're saying.
Too. Yeah. Any final thoughts?
This was epic. I'm so glad this came out and we got to share our thoughts about this. It's great to find fans that, you know, we can all just appreciate this kind of stuff again.
The thing for me that I take away from this is that I think I would have liked this movie on some level, no matter what, just because we were getting it in theaters in North America, and that's so exciting. But the fact that it was a really fun movie on top of that just delighted me.
This is the one movie in a really long time that I actually sat there and I was like on the edge of my seat the whole time. And I mean, most anime movies I like to watch, I'm usually in it for, you know, the nostalgia or how they're going to continue the story or whatever. But this one was like, I wasn't even thinking about the story. I was just thinking about if my 10-year-old self was sitting next to me right now, I don't think I would just die. Like, I would just be
I had a moment where I thought, okay,
this is crazy.
Okay, little Emma, someday, because the first time I saw this was at the English dub premiere, and I was thinking about my past self, and I'm like, past self, someday, you cover the red carpet premiere of a Dragon Ball
That's
Z
so
movie
crazy.
In the United States, and you hang out with all the voice actors, you go to the party after. It's awesome.
Yeah, you got some swag out of it too.
Look at all this swag I got.
Like, it's so crazy to think about that, like, us as kids just watching it from our box freaking TV screens to now watching
rushing,
it on our...
Yeah, running home from school to watch it because it was before TiVo.
So you were like, if you missed it, you missed it. You're and then done. You went to school the next day and everyone's talking about it and you're like, But like with this, it's just crazy how we can come as a community. And my brother, who's now 14, watched this movie and he had no idea how crazy it was and how much it meant to us.
Yeah, that's the thing that I think Toei in particular is doing a really good job of is recognizing that nostalgia factor with their properties and bringing back, you know, things like Sailor Moon and Dragon Ball Z, which are two of their biggest franchises ever, to the forefront, because all of the fans who were fans of those series when they were kids, now a lot of them have their own children, and so they're able to create a whole new generation.
Yeah, it's so crazy because I remember walking in there and there was more adults who were wearing, like, there was literally a little boy sitting with a family that was next to me that was wearing those old Hawaiian shirt Dragon Ball Z shirts. You guys remember those?
Totally remember those.
Obviously, that was too big for him because all of them were like one size only.
Giant,
at one point. Yeah, they were huge, but he loved it. He was walking around and he was flying around and he called it his, I think he called it his cloud, I think he actually didn't know what the name of the cloud was. But it just showed, I was like, this is crazy. If we were all, I mean, not, you know, not to throw it out there, but like, if we were all married with kids, we would go to the movie theater, bring our kids with us, and they would end up doing the same thing with their kids later. later on.
Yeah.
If they decide to make more movies.
Just imagine how I felt watching this with my brother, and it was in Japanese, and only me and my brother understood and loved this stuff.
Yeah.
And eventually, it comes to America, and people are greatly receptive about it. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can finally talk about it with people, and Americans really appreciate it and love it, and they're enjoying Japanese culture, so I'm really appreciative of that, because now we have a hub, and...
It all just goes back to this big movement that we're seeing nowadays in mainstream media, that all of a sudden, you know, it's cool to be a nerd.
Yes.
Yeah, no, and I love that.
But what's funny, though, is I hate being called a nerd.
I know what you mean.
I just like what I like. And it's like, oh, so you're a nerd. I don't think I'm extremely smart.
Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, as a final thought, I will say this in terms of being a nerd, according to Chris Hardwick, the Nerdist himself, it's that being a nerd isn't about what you like, but about the way that you like it.
Oh, that's true. That's okay. I'll take that.
See, I'll take that. I accept being called a nerd, but it's like...
You shouldn't label me for what I like.
It's a compliment. It means that you put a lot of passion and research into the things that you enjoy.
I'll rethink it.
Sure.
I'll rethink it.
So, Alexis, where can the people find you on the internet?
You guys can find me usually in the booth for all the popcorn talk.
Or otherwise, not on the internet.
Oh, yeah, or not on the internet. But you can usually contact me through any way, social media, as atorres890. Don't forget to watch my vlogs. I do one every Wednesday. I need to make one today. And I really appreciate it if you guys would just check out all of our networks.
Yeah.
Kaori?
I guess you can find me on our sister network, AfterBuzz TV, currently on Total Divas and SmackDown and some other random stuff. And
she's the wrestling queen.
Yeah, she is. I do like wrestling. I think that's about it. But just follow me at KAORIO. US down there. You can follow me everywhere with that, Twitch, everything. So,
And I similarly use the exact same handle for everything. I am at Emma Fife, which is my name, EMMAFYFFE. If you're listening, that is all F's, as in Fred, no S's, as in snake. They tend to sound the same on the phone or when they're recorded. Yeah. You can also catch me on a couple of shows at our sister network here, AfterBuzzTV.com, with Miss Alexis. We both do the Face Off After Show, as well as Transformers Robots in Disguise, which is quickly coming to a conclusion, but has been so much fun. And also, if you guys like listening to me talk about anime things, I also do a Sailor Moon podcast outside of AfterBuzz here, which Kaori was just very recently a guest on. We just posted that episode today. It is called Love and Justice. Look it up in the iTunes store. It's awesome. I just talk about all the nerdy anime things that I like. Thank you so much for watching me, guys. Remember to rate, comment, subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on YouTube, leave us those thumbs up on YouTube, leave us your comments, let us know what you think, and leave us those reviews in the iTunes store as well, and be sure to check out all of the other shows here on the Popcorn Talk Network. Thank you so much for joining us, guys. Goodbye.
Bye.
Producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the rest of the Anatomy of a Movie staff, we would like to thank you for listening and subscribing to the show. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email or tweet us. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been Anatomy of a Movie.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.